He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You were born for such a time as this. Such a time as this.
It just rips. It's called Ripper, and they just rips the soil because the strength of God in your life is greater than what's that hard pan. But you've got to submit. You've got to surrender. You've got to say, Lord, take it all. Show me what I need to do to get rid of this. Show me who I need to be accountable to. Show me what study I need. Because see, when you're transparent, you're open, you can get help. You bring light to the surface. But if you try to hide it, oh, that's a struggle, but it's my struggle. It's hurting my family. It's hurting my marriage. I'm not going to deal with it. And sin grows in those deep recesses of the human heart that are not exposed.
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship, located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles.
Today on Regaining Lost Ground, we hear the fourth part of this transparent message from Pastor Shane titled, Principles of Healthy Masculinity. Romans 8:9 tells us, "You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him." Listen today as Pastor Shane gives sobering account of what it is to be a true follower of Christ, and more specifically, a man after God's heart. Be transformed right now. You can hear the whole message at Pastor Shane's YouTube and Rumble channels. Make sure to subscribe today. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth from Pastor Shane with the Eidelman Unplugged weekly podcast. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Eidelman.
But I start winding down, don't you? You don't want a water that's not going off. Today's still not working, so I have to deal with it after the service. Arthur Wallace, in his book, I would encourage you to read this book, In the Day of Thy Power. In the Day of Thy Power, we grow cold to the Lord and His people, and we grow indifferent toward the souls of the perishing. These people are marked, what he's talking about, modern day Pharisees, these people are marked by formality and cold orthodox in their contention for the faith. This state of heart will often lead to a belligerent and graceless defense of minor points of doctrine. They strain at a gnat, but they swallow the camel. I love talking about doctrine, and so do many of you, but be careful, make sure our heart is right. Have we become cold and callous? So many examples. When idolatry leads a Christian, we choose things, like I already mentioned, travel ball, the big game, chores at home, time with family, or work over church and the pursuit of God. So what tilts the scale? That's a good one. I forgot. Idolatry often focuses on have any of you want to live vicariously through your kids? You know what that word vicariously means? Let them accomplish things that I didn't get to accomplish. Has it ever entered my mind that I could make my son really good at MLB baseball? Oh yeah, oh yeah. I know I could if it becomes an idol. And that's how we know, that's how we can gauge it. We want to live vicariously often through our children. So what tilts the scale? Here's what you need to know. It's the priority of the pursuit. I can be pursuing God and loving Him and still have a 67 Camaro in the garage. I can be pursuing Him and still have the stock market app on my phone. I can still be pursuing Him. I don't go to the gym. I don't like the atmosphere. Hello. I can still work out, but my pursuit of God makes me want to take care of myself even more, if that makes sense. Because to be a better pastor, a better leader, a better husband, a better father. Many of you know, and some might not, but I went through a hard season around October. I took some time off. I was gone a lot. I don't know if you remember that. It was a hard season. I didn't know what was going on. Just looking at the pursuit and thinking backing off would really help things. And it didn't, and that was the idol of just taking time off and just, you know, I just need to unwind from every single person and everything. and come to realize, okay, that's not the problem. You know, what's going on? So God does deep works in our hearts when we just come to Him and we let Him know, Lord, I need help in this area. I don't know what's going on. Sometimes we have attacks and we just need a season. Anybody ever going through a difficult season? Just about everybody that is honest, right? We went through difficult seasons. So that's the key. Really, what is the priority of the pursuit? Everything I said can be in moderation. It's okay, most of it. So finding the balance, make sure that your walk and the time with the Lord is not suffering. Be open to constructive criticism. Continually dethrone your idol. That's the key. If something's coming into my heart and we can see, and your wife says something about it, don't get upset and make excuses. They're often the best detectives in this area, aren't they? You know, you're spending a lot of time, whatever that is. I need an outlet. I need this. My wife, she sent me an Instagram thing. I know exactly what she's saying. It's about how it's a message like this video of when kids come in the room, we should put down our phones and just look at them and have a conversation with them. Like, she's not just sharing this. Oh, look at this. I came across it. This would be great for us. No, you're saying it'd be great for me. Great for me. We have a joke. Don't be the Holy Spirit this week. Let God, right, convict me. But that just shows the idolatry doesn't like to be challenged. But when we repent to that and we keep, by the way, and I apologize if this convicts people. Well, maybe I don't apologize, but it's, and again, I mean, there's so much going through my mind that I could tell you guys, and I just want to make sure it's not too much overkill. But I've never felt better when I finally obeyed God and gave up coffee. Isn't that weird? Like, I don't even want to tell people because it's embarrassing. But when I finally obeyed, because I was fasting and nothing was happening. I was fasting, couldn't succeed. I was in a funk for a while. But I had to have that. It could be you said it, not me. But again, I'm just trying to help. Maybe that will relate to somebody. I remember reading D.L. Moody's biography where this lady she wanted the fullness of the Spirit. You know what that is? It's when you fully surrender, the Holy Spirit just comes upon you and your joy and love and peace and contentment. It's the fullness of the Spirit, the heritage of every believer, if they want it. But you have to be desperate for more of God. You have all the Holy Spirit, but does He have all of you? And so He's convicting me of this, and I didn't want to give it up. I didn't want to give it up. And so that little disobedience can actually fracture that relationship. Because I don't think God's like, you know what, that's just a little thing, don't worry about it. No, He doesn't let you go. Because but again, the bigger picture is it affected who I was. I'm a jerk to people more. It's already type A personalities. You already know it's hard. You guys, you're called, you know, and so these little things and getting right before God and then just feeling that freedom and feeling that obedience, it was just like the scales fell off. And so I know I've lived this out. I would get up every morning and go, Lord, I don't feel anything. I don't want to read your word. And I would just look at my phone. And I'm like, God, what's going on? What's going on? I'm talking a long time. So, okay, fine. What 4 ounces? What's a big deal? But I had, right? You see what I'm saying? I don't mean to keep, but this is my struggle. This is what He worked. Some of you, maybe it's alcohol. Nicotine's that's a hard one to kick. And if God is convicting you, and that's why I can't relate to that, I'm like, just stop smoking, right? That's why it's hooked. And now this huge push for marijuana, you know it's a huge push? I was doing crunches, I couldn't get up, and then YouTube sends this interview with Jim Kimball and Mike Tyson. Now Tyson's got 2.0 marijuana. And everybody's like, oh yeah, great, you're stoned right now, great. And then Snoop Dogg Doggy comes on. Man, yeah, I got connections everywhere. It's like, and this becomes all these addictions. It's a form of idolatry. It begins to consume us. Now, is there medicinal purposes? Sure, we're not going to get into that. But we know, let's be honest, 99% of them do not use it for medicinal purposes. That's their excuse. Don't we use excuses? Right? We have these excuses. Oh, I can't stop drinking. Helps Shane, a little bit of wine helps your stomach. See, Paul told Timothy, not a two bottles a night. Excuses. The benefits of red wine, it's called resveratrol. You can get it from organic grapes. Much better. See, all these excuses. Man, I really want to quit. I know I keep falling into porn, but I got to use this laptop for work, and I got to do things. I got to take trips. No, you don't have to. There's ways around that. Excuses. Excuses. I know I need to do something for my health, but I'm busy. I'm in a hurry. It runs in my family. Listen, don't blame genetics, ever. Genetics might load the gun, but lifestyle pulls the trigger. We always tend to blame things when we truly don't want to change. I do it as well. I know it's a little lengthy and meaty, but I think it's so important. So I'm going to just close with some scriptures. 1 Corinthians, oh, that's a good point. Repentance will keep you from idolatry, or idolatry will keep you from repentance. 1 Corinthians 10:7, do not be idolaters as some of them were. So look, he's telling the church. He's telling the church in 1 Corinthians 10:7, do not be idolaters as some of you were. It's written, they sit down to eat and to drink and to go and indulge. So the Bible says this about idolatry. Flee from idolatry. Keep yourself from idols. Abstain from things that war against your soul. Make no provision for the idol. Flee its influence. And I will tell you, on a topic like this, it is hard, because thank God for God's grace, right? We don't walk around as all rigid and tense, and I got to obey all these rules. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't, Shane, this seems too constrictive. Yeah, we shouldn't live like that, for sure. But what's the other end of that extreme? It doesn't matter. I don't care. God's grace. That destroys you. That absolutely destroys you. All these grace preachers are no longer preachers, because it takes them down. Colossians as well. Put to death, to the church in Colossae, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature, which is sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. All of that is idolatry? How, Paul? Well, because it takes you away from God. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us what? Lay aside every weight and the sin which so clings closely to us, and let us run the race with endurance. And I don't know why I put this here. I was going to move, but I'm going to get to this in the end here. Why are weeds bad when it comes to tearing up the fallow ground and not removing every weight? What is a weight? So in other words, ignore the weed part. I'll get to that in a minute. What is removing every weight? Because isn't it interesting? Paul says, well, I think it's Paul who wrote Hebrews, but I could be wrong. Every weight, and remove the sin. So wait a minute, weight isn't a sin? Is that possible? Depending on the commentaries, most what it is, though, that we actually just look up the word in Greek, it means an obstruction, an obstacle, or a hindrance. So if I'm running this race to finish strong, fulfill my calling, what is an obstruction to me? What's in my way? What's an obstacle that's stopping me? What's a hindrance that's going to pull me back? These things I've been talking about, this idolatry. So something, a good thing that isn't a God thing. We go over that now at our staff meetings. Okay, we want to do Rend the Heavens again. Good idea. But is it a God idea? We want to do this. You want to get involved in this, and you want to take on this. Okay, good idea. But if it's not God-inspired and it becomes a weight, I don't use them anymore, but I have 100-pound dumbbells. And if I want to bring it up here, and it's like, I'm trying to fulfill my calling, but I'm carrying this, remove every, I can't run very fast. How many Christians are carrying this weight? They're not removing it. I mean, just even the prayer room, we talked to a lot of people who need to break off relationships that are, wait, don't go leave your spouse. I'm not saying that. Some of you go, you know, but there's a too late now. Now you got to carry the weight. Now you got to, you know, get right with God and pray for this. But we're carrying the weight or what are doing too much, right? A weight. You know, I've been asked to, not too recently, but I've been asked to run for the Antelope Valley Hospital Board. I've been asked to run for mayor. I've been asked to go to the school board meeting. I'd like to give Newsom a run for his money. But that's not my pastor, right? Get too involved. And people, they get mad at me because I won't carry the weight with them. Why won't you get behind this program? Why won't you go to this event? Why won't you promote this? Because I don't have that much time. I got to figure out what I'm called to do and cut that weight and go forward. Isn't that true? I've and it's hard because I've had people, they want me to go more to more school board meetings and call out the board. Okay, but I'm gone from 5 till 10 at night when that happens. Go promote the care net and get an abortion, get behind this and get behind that. See, all these weights. Even for me, if I can qualify this, because weights can be good things, right? This is why it's hard, even for Abram too, I know, and me, to go to the Tuesday night men's study. For me, it's a weight, because then it puts the burden on my wife to get my son to baseball, get my daughter gymnastics or swimming, and then I'm gone here Wednesday, I've got Friday, we've got a Sunday event, we've got Sunday services. Now am I carrying too much weight and not where I need to be for my particular area of life? If the kids are out of the house, then yes, it makes perfect sense. But I've got to say no to a lot of things, and because they are encumbrances, they are weights. And I can't pull them. My race actually slows down, doesn't it? The enemy will use busyness and get you off track from... How many people said, I want to start a ministry, I want to do this. Ah, but I'm too busy. I can't do it. I can't fulfill it right now. Roy Hennessin, people imagine that dying to self makes one miserable, but it's just the opposite. It's the refusal to die to self that makes one miserable. Boy, if I could say that every Sunday, I'd put this up before. Isn't that true? They became an abomination like the thing they love. Many are convicted, many are struggling. Here's the answer. So he said, okay, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. So here's how you break this idolatry in our hearts. We have to break up this fallow ground that has been built in our lives. Fortunately, like, is Jason here? Jason, we have a lot of experience with dirt work. Clay, caliche, sand, hardpan. We know how to move dirt. We know how to level dirt. We know how to work in dirt. I know exactly what fallow ground is. Here's the thing. Ground that used to be useful is no longer useful. It used to bear fruit. The ground used to bear fruit to our family, to our marriage, to our lives, but it's become fallow ground. Hard, rocky, stony, weeds. Back to the weeds. What do weeds do? Weeds actually take the nourishment from the plants. Weeds actually cover and they obstruct. And so breaking up that fallow ground is so important. Breaking up the ground, why do farmers do it? It gives life. Refreshing air comes in. The hard soil is removed and nutrients are replenished. So God knows what he's doing when it says, men, break up that fallow ground. Break up that hardness in your heart. Let the refreshing spirit of God come into your heart and revive you. That's why I say you can leave different than when you arrived. There's no reason we should come here every week not being able to change and but you got to break up that fallow ground. Excuses must die at the foot of the cross. The hard soil must be removed. The hardness and the callousness of the human heart. Fallow ground, again, once yielded fruit, but has become hard, packed tight, and overgrown with weeds. Here's the thing, guys. We need to wake up, because the only way often to break up that fallow ground is we use often a shovel, right? Or if it was real hard, a digging bar. But there might come a time when God breaks it up. I think we have an image of it, hopefully. Woo-hoo. Jason, you like that too? Man, if I could sit on that all afternoon. D10 caterpillar. How many of you know what that thing does on the back? Not only does it trench, it actually breaks up the soil so the loaders can come in and get the dirt. It breaks up the soil so the bulldozer can back up and begin now to plow that dirt because it has been broken up. God will use a shovel and a digging bar, but at some point, if you're going through it, He might be going deep. He might be bringing that hard pan up and so you can break. Because here's the thing, break up your fallow ground. God says, you break it up, because if you don't, I will. And when God breaks it up, it's messy. And you see how hard that soil is, but once that tooth gets down there, once that it gets down, it begins to just, and then why does it break it? Because the power in that engine is stronger than the resistance in the soil. The power of that cat engine just, you can feel it. I've never done a D10, a D5, and it's like you feel like there's just, you could bulldoze a house, and you could. And it just rips. It's called ripper, and they just rips the soil because the strength of God in your life is greater than what's that hard pan. But you've got to submit. You've got to surrender. You've got to say, Lord, take it all. Show me what I need to do to get rid of this. Show me who I need to be accountable to. Show me what study I need. Because see, when you're transparent, you're open, you can get help. You bring light to the surface. But if you try to hide it, that's a struggle, but it's my struggle. It's hurting my family. It's hurting my marriage. I'm not going to deal with it. And sin grows in those deep recesses of the human heart that are not exposed. That's why even we have elders meetings, I go and I tell them. Guys ask me, talk to my wife. You know, they know my strongholds, things I've just explained to you. Things that could, they can come back years later. In the last year, I've talked to, that used to go here, probably a couple different people who went 5, 6, 7 years clean. Sober. But then, bam, hit them. Now they're worse off than where they used to be. Because I truly believe once you give in that stronghold and you give in again, it's hard to break out of that because you've given now permission again for the idolatry to consume. So I know it's a heavy, heavy message, but it's true. Is it not based on God's word? It is completely true. God wants men to lead, and I think we're holding on often to just too much idolatry because of excuses. Again, everything I said, you can do that's not a sin. Everything. Finances, to fitness, to family, to vacation, it's all. But is God my all-consuming pursuit? Is He my, because I love, like when we go on vacation now, my kids want to find a church. I'm like, not me. Can I just, right? I'm just being honest. Can we not go to church for just 2 weeks?
He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. Such a time as this.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground with Pastor Shane Eidelman. You can find more information at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org. And for all the latest on what God is doing with His ministry here, please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change, truth does not.
I want to hear the Father when He calls, He's calling, wake up, child, it's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child, it's your turn to shine.
Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship.